For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back with you just after 2 o'clock here in the nation's capital and beyond. Linnell Willingham, the youngest in charge, and I'm merely just the host of this radio program on a five-day-a-week basis, the Rooster. And some of you may think I'm nuts. Like Mo is out there screaming on Twitter about how I'm terribly wrong and how the YIC is completely correct and all that stuff. So, listen, it's a matter of perspective, right? We all have different perspectives, right? And again, I live in a world where I see a lot of different perspectives. And maybe, LW, you live in a world where you see what's most important to you, and that's what you hone in on and focus in on, right? And I would just say this Commanders defense, to me, has been asked to do, even though the Commanders offense has been really good. Based on what I've seen out of Detroit, the Commanders defense has been asked to do more, than the Detroit defense. And here's a perfect example, that Chicago game, which we keep going back to. Again, they were asked to do more in that game against a pretty good, young and improving offense, Caleb Williams, so on and so forth, and a lot of weapons, yes, because they couldn't score in the red zone. Detroit, almost every game that they play in is a lopsided blowout. Not every game, almost every game they play in is a lopsided blowout. They're not asked to do as much, I don't believe, as the Washington defense. That's just my perspective, like, and you can throw out whatever numbers you want.
I just don't get where you're coming from with that.
What do you mean?
You're saying Washington's defense is asked to do more.
Have you watched the Detroit Lions play at all this year? They blow out almost everybody. They didn't blow out Arizona.
I get what you're saying, but
in week three,
their defense is a part of that, though. Like, their defense is a part of why they're blowing people out.
Their defense is not the reason. Is not the primary reason. Not
Chris,
even close to the primary reason.
Now I'm clearly hearing. All I said was, Chris, their defense is a part of why they're blowing people out. And you go, no.
Well,
their defense is not the reason why. Like, what?
Well,
if you're going to sit here and tell me that their defense is not a part of why they're blowing people out, then we're going to be here all day going back and forth.
Is it a part? Yeah. Is it the reason? No. I mean, right, you would give me that. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff, who somehow passes for four touchdowns and 85 yards every game.
They have a good
offense. Their offensive line is great. Their run game is outstanding.
He is the most insulated quarterback in the NFL.
Right. And I would never tell you Jared Goff's the best quarterback in the NFC or the NFL
Neither
or anything
I,
like
because
that.
I'm not,
just
I'm
because
not
they're winning,
idiot.
There's like, nuance to everything.
Yeah, he is. You put Jaden Daniels in Detroit, they have the same record.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just
Jaden Daniels is asked to do more than Jared Goff is.
Right. If you kind of look at it, okay,
in terms of
time of possession, just, you know, using that as a number, right? Washington is averaging 31 minutes and 12 seconds a game, 13th in the league in terms of time of possession, right? Which means their defense basically is only asked to be on the field for what, 28 minutes and let me just see here the math. 28 minutes and 48 seconds, right? 31-12 offense, 28 minutes and 48 seconds, basically, on average. Detroit is slightly less, right? They are asked, their offense is on the field less than the Commanders' offense at 30-25. So they're asking their defense, basically, to play 29-35 worth of time of possession, right? So again, theoretically, the numbers are in the favor of Washington. But when I ask you to kind of evaluate the two, and it's impossible for us to watch every game, every play, every snap of every team and what have you, I would say this. If you're being objective and if you're just looking at big picture, right, Yes, the Detroit Lions have grinded out some tough games, especially early on when their offense wasn't exactly clicking. The first 3 weeks, they weren't. The last 5 weeks or so, let's use this. 42-29 over Seattle. 47-9 at Dallas. 31-29 against Minnesota, but they were up by like 28 points in that game. They gave up 52-14 over Tennessee and 24-14 on Sunday, and that game never felt that close against Green Bay. So the first 3 weeks, they were asked to do a lot more. I would grant you that. The last 5 weeks, I don't think the Detroit Lions defense has been asked to do anywhere close to as much as what Washington has asked its defense to do. Now, part of that is, again, like the way games play, you know, whatever. Part of that is they're in year four of their reload, relaunch, rebuild,
right,
what have you, with
so
Brett Holmes.
Better.
We're year one, yes.
They're in a different category.
Right.
Just like with Green Bay, they're in a different category. They've been together longer.
Okay.
Philadelphia in a different category.
But that doesn't mean Washington
longer.
Can't hang with them
I've never said that Washington could not hang with them. I'm telling you, in your right mind, and don't try to be objective. I mean, don't try to be controversial here. If Washington and Green Bay were matched up this Sunday on the schedule, you're picking Green Bay.
Actually, I'm not.
You're tripping, man. I bet you all of my fortunes.
Okay. How much fortune do you have?
You can have the $90 that rest in my savings account until midnight tomorrow night. You can have that.
I mean, two nickels rubbed together in a ham sandwich.
Chris, you can't sit here and tell me, why would you pick Green Bay to beat Washington? What about Washington's better than Green Bay right now, except for the quarterback?
Well, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, but it's not the only part of
special
it. We've got to be able to get
special
stops.
Teams has also been across the board better. Now, McManus has kicked a couple of game-winning field goals. I got it. Listen, I have a healthy respect for Green Bay. I'm not saying Green Bay's bad. They're 6-3. Of course,
they're better
Matt
than
LaFleur
Washington,
has done a great
Chris.
Job. I don't know if they're like. I don't know if they're definitively better than Washington. Until I see Jordan Love stop turning the ball over, completely healthy,
Chris, in a
completely
game against
right,
Washington, Jordan Love's probably throwing it 22 times.
Maybe.
And going 16-22
maybe,
for 236
right,
yards.
And he can still turn the ball over, right? Maybe. I mean, our guy doesn't turn the ball over.
You're right. I give you that.
I mean, so
I just don't. I would have a hard time picking Washington against Green Bay.
Let me give you another one. Even though I would say that in my estimation, I think Philadelphia is right there with Washington, if not slightly better, slightly better. Jonesy points out, I hear what you guys are saying about Philadelphia, but the Jaguars were one smart possession away from possibly winning that game last week. So I think we have a chance. Now, our defense doesn't generate enough pass rush to opposing teams. I think the pass rush has gotten better, but the point being is Philadelphia is not some juggernaut because they figured out a formula.
I don't care how many points you win by, dog. What's wrong with y'all? No one looks at that. It's about whether you win the game or lose the game.
That's it.
You don't get
there's no
dinged.
Nuance or context to how you win a game or lose a game.
You do not get dinged for winning by only a possession.
Of course you don't in the standings, but in reality, don't you?
No, Chris, I mean, because the NFL is a week-by-week league, and teams are different week in and week out based off of matchups.
Okay, when the Commanders beat the Giants 21-18 in week two, did you walk in and said the only thing that matters is they won, or did you have nuance,
Chris,
hey, man, they struggled to stop the run, blah, blah, blah.
They won the game, though, Chris, and ultimately that's what was most important.
Yes.
Yeah, every team. There is no team that is flawless. Including the 8-0, 9-0 Kansas City Chiefs.
Right, nobody would say that.
So your idea, so y'all point of bringing up Philly having a hiccup with Jacksonville, they were up 16-0.
I get that.
The game wasn't remotely close.
I know, and Jacksonville obviously closed that window.
All right, so like y'all acting like that game was so close. Like Philly dominated that game.
Wait a
second. They held them to 60 yards rushing on 18 carries.
Wait a second.
They were one-dimensional.
You were the one that forced
two turnovers.
You were the one that told me that what you do early in a game or in the first half of the game isn't all that matters, right? I mean, so I'm just asking, ultimately, right, Washington dominated Chicago.
You all are being extremely biased when it comes to the Commanders, and I can't believe I'm saying
that.
No,
I'm just saying, Washington.
If there is a fan out there, if there is a personality out there that genuinely believes that if Washington and Philly played today, Monday, before the Marshawn Lattimore trade, because I'm willing to concede that, hey, my big issue for Washington is their inability to stop the run. I think their inability to stop the run has a massive trickle-down effect the rest of the way. Because if you can't stop the run, you know what other teams are going to do? Yeah, it's great that your offense is high-powered and can score every time. If we run it down your throat and Jaden Daniels only gets six possessions, you better damn be perfect on all six.
This is the point that I wanted to make. If you're going to have a weakness on your defense...
I would rather it be the pass defense, Chris.
Yeah, I'm just the opposite.
Okay.
Because
are you serious, Chris?
Yeah, because here's why.
I don't believe you're doing this to me right now. I'm literally getting emotional.
That's a problem.
You are the same guy that we sat up here less than a month ago, and we asked each other this question. You asked defensive coordinators around high school football, college football, the NFL.
They all want to make
a team. What is the non-negotiable?
Right. They want to make a team one-dimensional.
What is the non-negotiable defensively?
They want to make a team one-dimensional.
You cannot allow teams to run the ball. So for you to say, if I was to have a weakness, I'd rather it be my run defense, you sound like a clown, Chris. No,
I don't sound like a clown because you're not even listening to the full context. I didn't even explain the full context. And that is, I understand what you're trying to say, and I agree with it in general. But if you're asking me one or the other, do I want to hemorrhage against the run or hemorrhage against the pass? Because the passing game against good offenses is much more explosive, much quicker, much more ability to strike the band, and much more likely to hurt you in a close game or any kind of game, I would rather death by paper cuts. Theoretically, not 24 yards a carry, not 15 yards for Devin Singletary when Deron Payne gets shoved out.
They've given up 41 yards of 10 or more yards. 41 rushes, of 10 or more yards.
Right.
That's
too
hemorrhaging,
much.
Chris.
Too much.
That is hemorrhaging by definition, buddy.
But you would agree that last year when they were giving up all of those 40-plus yard passing plays, that was more damaging, correct?
Chris, what passing plays, right? When you have a big chunk passing play, and you go from the 20 and you pass it, you throw one pass and you're at Washington's 40, you know what that does?
The game
pace continues to flow. When you get the ball run on you, the clock bleeds and you don't have the possessions
that you would have.
One of many reasons why giving up big runs and not being able to stop the run is a far greater problem than not being able to stop the pass.
I just want to be clear.
That's what I'm saying.
I just want to be clear that if you stop the run, you automatically win, right? Like, is that what you're telling me? Because that's the only thing that matters.
I can't believe you're choosing. You're doing a bit, Chris.
No, I'm asking a question.
I'll tell you this: you look at the teams that are the top five rushing defenses in the NFL, Chris. All of those are football teams that could be in the Final Four.
Okay,
Baltimore, fine. Minnesota, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
Right. Okay, fine. But what I'm asking
the teams that are in the bottom five are all bottom feeding losers, except for Washington.
Okay,
meaning. Good, and I don't even know why I'm like getting all worked up over this. I don't know why either.
I'm just asking.
It is very clear,
right?
You cannot over the sample size of the past 25 years. You can go 25 years. I guarantee you, it's only a handful of teams that have postseason success and make it to the postseason with a bottom four rush defense. It doesn't happen. That is what the game is based off of. If you can't stop the run, you can't stop the pass, Chris. Point blank. You just can't. It is the way football was constructed by Vince Lombardi. It's a joke.
There are teams that have struggled to stop the run.
There's a difference, Chris. You're underscoring.
The 49ers last year is a perfect example.
Sucks at stopping the run. They're bottom four, Chris. The Niners were not bottom four against the run last year. You cannot sit here with a straight face and tell me that. You can't. And if you can,
look it up.
If you can, I will finish the rest of this Gatorade without stopping. And I will Badland chugs this thing. You're not going to sit here and tell me that, Chris.
What I'm saying
teams
to you,
that, bro, okay, this is what, great. 2023, I got the stats up right here.
What I'm saying?
The bottom five run teams in last year's season, Arizona, Seattle, Denver, New York, Green Bay. Green Bay was fifth. But in reality,
there is isolated examples on both sides.
Correct.
But I understand the fundamental philosophy is if you stop the run, you can make a team one dimensional.
Let's go to 2022. Houston, Chicago, Seattle, Detroit, L.A., all teams that were nowhere near sniffing the playoff picture.
Okay.
Go back to 2021.
But you're just looking at
Go back
statistics.
To 2021. It's not about statistics. Chris, good God
Again,
almighty.
Statistics can good be Chris, twisted and warped in a lot of different
you
ways.
You're acting like I'm using some type of bare-bone stat. I'm using a stat that don't need much context, brother. If you can't
You're
stop
using
the run,
yards per game allowed in rushing,
yards
right?
Yards per game, yards per rush, 10 okay. yard runs of 10 or more yards allowed.
Okay.
Like that, you're going to be hard-pressed to find me a team over the past 25 years, mm-hmm. a bunch of teams. There may be isolated, you know, what do you call them? Outliers, mm-hmm. right? You're going to be hard-pressed to find me a team that's bottom five in yards per rush allowed.
Except for Green Bay.
That was one team, Chris. I went
right,
and gave
it was
you
last
two,
year.
I gave you two seasons afterwards. There were nobody in the picture.
Well, I know, but Green
I
Bay was right there.
I told you you would
right
have a
there.
Handful of teams over the past 25 years.
But Green Bay was right there. Yeah, a handful of teams. But again, I'm not saying that are the Commanders going to finish in bottom five? We don't know that.
Chris, they haven't
maybe
even played.
Maybe they'll be
Chris,
20th by the Chris, time the season ends.
Chris,
because
numbers the numbers would say that, yeah, they're not going to get marketably better because the best run teams that are in the league, they haven't even seen yet. They haven't seen Philadelphia. They got to see Philly twice. They got to see Alvin Kamara and the Saints. You think they can stop the Saints run game?
I'm not saying you have to stop anybody. You have to control them.
It's
you have to
point,
not
though,
get
Chris,
killed.
It's not about control. They don't even control it. They're giving up gadgets.
I'm sorry.
Chris.
I'm a death by paper cuts guy. I'd rather die that way than die by explosives.
But one thing directly leads to the other, though, Chris.
Of course it does.
But you
understand there's a difference between giving up an explosive, a 12-yard run, which is a 10-plus run, which is part of that number from Mommy's Basement, okay, then giving up a 42-yard pass play. You understand there's a difference, right? Of course one feeds into the other and one benefits off of the other. I totally get that. I'm not dumb. I wasn't born yesterday. But what I'm saying is if you're going to give up big plays, I'd rather it be on the ground. And I would guarantee you that most teams would rather you drive 7, 8, 9, 10 plays as opposed to 1, 2, or 3 plays.
Chris, how do you drive 9, 10, 11 plays? That's explosive runs normally lead to that, right?
Again, not every run is 10 plus yards, right? I mean, 5, 6, 7 yards.
Bottom line is, if you think that stopping them having a bottom five run defense isn't a massive problem in the separator between them and the other contenders
of
around
course
the league,
it's a problem.
No, it's the number one thing that separates them from the
okay.
contenders.
All right.
That is the number one. Everywhere
Fine.
Else, they stack
right.
up excellently.
But by mid-January, they might not be in the bottom five, is the point.
Yeah,
we don't know that.
They may not be because they acquired Marshawn Lattimore.
Well,
if they didn't acquire Marshawn Lattimore, I would bet your ass they'd still be bottom five.
And that brings us full circle. 301-230-0980. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll get right back to your calls. On the other side, just wanted to get through some of that. There is differences. Everybody's got different philosophies. I know, you know, everybody's in this country's got one philosophy and one philosophy own. And if you don't agree, then you're an I almost said a wrong word, but you know, that's not the way homie plays. I play a different game on the Team 980. And the Odyssey app.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back with you here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We'll get right out to the calls. I know. Just let me crystallize what I was trying to point out. Last year, the Washington Commanders defense was wretched, right? Horrible in every way. But they were way worse pass defense and giving up explosive plays through the air than they were against the ground or against the run. Not to say that run defense was good. It wasn't. But it wasn't anywhere near as bad, and yet they were the worst defense in the league, and they won 4 games after starting the year 2-0, and they gave up explosive after explosive after explosive.
You're talking about a historically bad pass defense, though. It's not like you're just talking about some regular bad pass defense.
I get that.
They were literally historically bad.
I get that, and part of the reason why was because they gave up monster plays, not 20-yard gains, not little 18-yard hook routes. not 15 yard stops.
Chris, I'm gonna be real
across
with you.
The middle of the field.
We gotta take the. There's no way, and I'm sorry, and I'll die on this hill. There's no way you're gonna sit here and tell me you'd rather have a bad pass defense than you'd rather have a bad run defense than a bad pass okay. defense. Right. You're never gonna get me to agree.
Okay,
with that.
I don't need you to agree. I'm just telling you the reality of the situation.
It's not reality. If you think that's reality, then your view of reality is skewed tremendously.
Let's throw it out to the faithful. Would you rather have a good run defense?
Is that really what we're asking them right now?
Or a good pass defense?
We're supposed to be asking them is, did this Marshawn Lattimore deal bolster them into the upper echelon of the NFC?
Yes, that's part of what we're asking. And we can ask other things. I can walk and chew gum.
You're trying to get your ego stroked by the audience because you think that you're right about the pass defense. That's what you're trying to do.
I can walk and chew gum at the same time.
No, I'm going to call you out for exactly what you're doing. That's not even the question of what we've been asking. All we're asking.
Well, we stumbled upon that in an agreement.
Something completely ludicrous that I responded to for some reason.
Right. Nobody in America would think it's more important to in a passing league to shut down the pass or to limit and control explosives.
Every defensive coach at every level, little league, high school, college, XFL, BCS, FBS, FCS, Howard, Georgetown, Rob Scarlatta, Larry Scott. You know what they're going to tell you?
At the lowest of levels, if you don't stop the run, you can't have a good defense. You can't.
I agree with that.
So why
in
is
general,
the conversation continuing?
But the notion that you
good God.
The notion that you'd rather get beat on the ground as opposed to through the air.
No,
if we're talking about explosive plays,
I would rather get beat through the air.
Is nonsense.
I would rather get beat through the air.
That's the part that I don't get.
No.
I mean, if you'd rather give up 40 yards per play than 10 yards per play, that's on you.
Yeah, because if you give up a 50-yard pass play and then they get down in the red zone, guess what you can't do as well?
Let's get to Lou on line one. Chris, you're going to have to help me out here because this thing is still not working. What up, Lou? How are you?
Help him out, Chris, man. What's going on, man?
What's up, Lou?
Big L, what a deal.
Help me, save me.
What's going on, Lou? We have a lot of calls, too, so make sure we don't spend 10 minutes on a call.
I got you. I'll make it quick. I think it helped both, man. Chris, I get your whole point, but at the same time, man, if you can't stop the run, I mean, what does it make any difference? I mean, it's not even just him. I mean, it's the DN. They got to move. I mean, everyone, man. Look, man, we got a dog now. He's a four-time since Champ Bailey. We ain't never had somebody like him, this type of caliber player, especially in that position. So I'm thrilled, man. I hope he's going to be healthy to help us out in the back end of the schedule. So, I'm just happy, and it's going to help out the corners, man. You guys, you know how much I hate the guy, but Benjamin St. Jude, now he could be the number two guy that you guys have been saying.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's going to
Which is exactly the point. Lattimore gives you the ability to change a lot of things, not just the run defense. It gives you the ability to change a lot of things.
For the 30th
and improve
time,
a lot
I never
of things.
Said it was just the run defense. Chris, so stop saying
okay.
that.
Okay. Primarily the run defense. That's what you said.
Yes. I think that's where I think the impact felt most.
Okay.
At first.
I mean, yeah, of course. Look, man, you got to stop both at the same time, man. It's not like the 2000 defense nowadays. You got to, bring nine guys just to stop the run, man. You know, these offensive guys are genius, man. So you got to be able to stop both. So I think he's a big addition, and I'm happy, man. Look, man, the sky's the limit. Let's go, man.
All right. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate it. we're not talking about coaching philosophy and ideally what you would want to do. Of course, you would want to stop the run first and make a team
Chris,
one-dimensional.
That's literally what you just asked.
What we're debating is whether it's worse to get beat by cuts, small cuts, as opposed to one big gash. That's what we're debating.
Chris,
right?
No.
Yes.
Like, you
that's what we're
crazy,
debating.
Dog.
We're not debating
you
football philosophy. We're not debating
Hello.
Football philosophy. I have no idea who this is. Who's on the phone?
Oh, I'm still on the...
Oh, okay.
Hang him up.
Sorry, Chris.
All right, later, Lou.
Thank you.
Good.
Sorry about that. This show is a disaster. Let's get to the trending alert, and then we will get to your calls right here.
If you're a caller on the line right now, I apologize on behalf of the host, because damn, you've been saying we're going to get to the call since 1:30.
I just got to a call, but you won't shut up either.
You take it one call at a time, and then let them go for 3 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have taken him for 3 seconds. I'm sorry.
You're being such a...
I apologize.
You're being so mean
you know?
To me.
Bro. I mean, would you like me to schedule a guest for you at 8:15 tonight?
I'm not on overtime.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, 236, T980, and the Odyssey app. Let's go right back to the call so I don't get accused of sabotaging my own radio program, huh? We'll see how many people agree with the youngest in charge. Again... Like, we're having some football debate.
I love the
football
callers.
Philosophy.
I love the callers, but I can
arguments.
Care less with it if they agree with me.
Oh, okay.
No.
That was the youngest in charge that just said that. I mean,
I'm not here for them to agree with me.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right. Exactly.
I'm here to do...
We're here to stir the debate.
Well, that doesn't matter, Chris. We don't move by that hierarchy. We go by the best.
Where did you want me to go, Chris? All right, let's get to Little on line 3 on the Team 980. Hello, Little. How are you?
Rooster.
Little.
Shout out to the youngest in charge. Hey, look, Rooster. I'm going to commend the youngest in charge. You had CD on your show. Hey, look, Rooster, I'm still waiting for you to get somebody with some importance on your show, man.
Wait, excuse me? Wait, what?
Yeah, oh, my gosh, this is going to get really funny.
Wait a second. Little.
The other calls aren't going to get on this.
No. First of all, Little, you're out of your mind.
Look at what he's doing.
Okay. I had Charles Davis on yesterday and Devin McCourty. I had Terry McLaurin and Bobby Wagner on Monday. What do you want from me?
Oh, okay.
I have Chris Rodriguez coming up in half an hour. You speak like he does. Absolutely out of your mind.
Are you going to tell your co-host that we
I did. I texted you last night.
You texted me winning him
I heard the youngest in charge call you bro. And I said, Lord. I know he got away with it. He called a rooster bro. I heard that.
Yeah, I called him bro. What, you want me to call him out his name?
No, I remember that guy called him, bro. He went off.
The disrespect for me on my radio show is incredible around here.
Yeah, he went off on that boy to call him bro.
I mean, it is so symbolic of where this country is at. I can't say any more than that.
This is why I call. My gangster won the thing. That's my man. Got my gangster. Look.
I don't know.
Let me say this, Rooster.
Who's your gangster?
I'm putting up anybody that like Detroit in the championship game. Come see me.
Okay.
I match anything you can put up.
All right.
And I'm keeping it real.
So Little is saying that the Commanders are better than Detroit. All right,
Chris,
fine.
Can I bring this to something that matters?
Thank you, Little. Appreciate it. Little, we got to let you go.
Little, if you haven't liked that, brother. You can hear this because your radio's still on. I could DM you my Venmo, my Cash App, my Apple Pay. Since you want to throw money around so damn bad, throw it to somebody who could put some use to it.
I mean, I'm so hoping the Commanders are in the NFC Championship game. If they go against Detroit, there's just no realistic way right now, that I could pick them.
I'm not willing to like make a firm declarative statement about where they are until November 14th.
Okay, that's fine. Going back to our original, or one of our original many arguments, I have a higher feeling about them in the NFC hierarchy, as we discussed. I think they're basically on the same line as Philadelphia for different reasons. I think they're better, in my opinion, than Green Bay, but I understand how if Green Bay's offense stops turning the ball over, certainly that could correct a lot of their woes and issues, and they don't have that many woes and issues. We're talking about top-tier teams. I don't see them being better than Detroit, unless Detroit, by the time you get to that point, because they don't play each other in the regular season, by the time you get to the postseason, and maybe it's not the championship game, if they're really injured beyond Aiden Hutchinson and more, if they're missing several other key guys. All right, let's get to
now. Now I see how you feel with me.
Let's get to Anthony in D.C. on line five.
What's up?
Next up. Anthony, how are you?
Gentlemen, I'd like to propose a
ceasefire
to the show.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, gotcha. I was just trying to do a bit. Sorry about that.
I'd like to propose a change to the show, if you allow me.
Sure. It depends on what change you're proposing.
Okay. Forget about Windbag Wednesday. Forget about Throwdown Thursday.
Yeah.
Going forward, the show should be called Archie and the Meathead. Because you two argue like Archie and Mike on All in the Family.
See, now he has no reference point to that. I know what you're talking about. And in some ways, you're absolutely correct. But who's the meathead? Let me ask you this. Who's the meathead? I think I know the answer to that.
Well, it's up for interpretation. I'll put it that way. But Linnell, go on YouTube and watch videos of All in the Family.
What's it called, Anthony? Tell me again, Anthony.
What was the name of the show? All in the Family, right? Was it All in the Family?
Yeah, with Archie Bunker.
Yeah, right. With Archie Bunker, right. All in the Family? All right. We got you. We got you. Anthony, just make a quick football point, if you don't mind, because I know you've been on hold for a little while. Go right ahead. Just make a quick football point.
You have to stop the run before you do anything else.
Thank you, Anthony.
It's football 101. It hasn't changed in over 100 years.
Okay.
Running the ball leads to play action, which leads to gashin. So it's that simple.
I got you. I understand.
Is that why I'm the meathead? Because I'm the smarter football guy?
No, it's not. It's a fair point. It's a fair point that Anthony said. I'm not saying, Anthony, thank you. I'm not saying, again, ignore stopping the run. Don't make it an emphasis. What I'm saying is I'd rather get beat by the run than the pass. That is a different argument. I'm not talking about the attack philosophy or the fundamental philosophy. I'm talking about how I would rather get beat. And if it's death by paper cut, I'd rather get beat death by paper cut than in one big swing. That's it. That's the whole point. By the way, Marshawn Lattimore is wearing number 23. He is on the sidelines at practice. Chris Rodriguez Jr., who is our guest at 3:15, is now wearing number 36. Number 36. We'll ask him what went into the potential negotiations for that number swap. How about that?
Oh, Chris Rodriguez is wearing 36? That's what you just said? Okay. Think about the calls?
Yeah. Meathead might be too kind to describe you. Let's go to line seven, Kenny in Forestville. I think he's been on hold the longest. What's up, Kenny? How are you?
What's up, Kenny? Help me out, brother.
What's up? What's up, fellas?
Kenny?
Linnell, how are you? I don't know if I can help you out, bro. I don't know if I can help you out. The reason why is, historically, if you know football, in the playoffs, you have to be able to run the ball and stop the run. And if you go back to looking at Redskins, Commanders, Super Bowls, we always had running backs.
Right.
Timmy Smith,
right.
John Riggins, yep. Ernest Biner.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You have to be able to do that.
Yes.
Bro, you can't just give up a Hail Mary bomb. They're going to be right there. They're going to score. So if you can stop them, at least get them to fourth and one,
you,
they might punt it.
God bless you, man.
But Kenny, maybe I'm misunderstanding.
You're
basically saying,
right, I'm arguing something that shouldn't even be argued.
No, you, Kenny, I just want to be clear. You're saying the run game is important on offense, check. We all agree. The run stopping or the run controlling on defense, important, check that. We all agree. Again, the difference is he's talking about what your fundamental philosophy would be. My point is, philosophy aside, yes, you can want whatever you want. The execution and how you get beat is my point. And that is, again, I would rather give up 5, 6, 7 yards a carry, even though that's problematic too, than 35, 40 yards, 45 yards a play 4 or 5 times in a game, which was last year's problem. And again, it's reversed a little bit this year. And that's probably for various reasons. But my point is the way they got beat consistently last year, no bueno, man. You cannot win under that, no matter what your philosophy is.
Absolutely, and what I'm saying is I agree with you. I'm also saying that I'd rather give up the run than the chunk plays,
okay,
or the throwing of the ball and the Benjamin St. Juice holding on third and goal. Like we can't have that. We can't have that. You definitely want to bleed slow.
Mm-hmm.
Then catch a headshot. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Good. Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. I agree with you, obviously. Thank you, Kenny.
Wrong.
Thank you, brother.
Right.
I appreciate it. Wait, what'd you say? Linnell was wrong? What? Did you say? Oh, wait, we lost. Damn. How did we lose that? Let's get to Teddy in Silver Spring on line two. Teddy, good afternoon. How are you?
Teddy, what's going on, brother?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you
What's
today?
Up, Teddy?
I think you both have great points. And to Linnell's point, the antidote to beating a high-powered offense is a running is being able to stay on the field and run the ball and keeping the other offense off the field. But to your point, Chris, if you can't stop the pass, no matter how much you run, the other team runs the ball, you're always in the game. So if someone can run the ball down your throat,
right,
if they're not scoring and they can't stop the pass, you're always going to be in the game with a threat to come back and win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you both have valid great points. But the other thing is also how is the team constructed? Because if a team is able to pass the ball a lot, then you're going to negate the other team from running the ball, because at the end of the game or in the middle of the game, if they're down 14 points, they're not going to be running the ball to get back in the game.
Right.
So you automatically negate that. So
it's not even at the end of the game. It could be at halftime in the start of the third quarter, like it was on Sunday at MetLife Stadium, because the
exactly.
Giants were able to run all over them in the first half, or at least on two drives, not all over them the entire half, like some people think. It was two drives, and one was a 16-play drive with 13 runs. I was there. I counted it all. I charted it all. They carved them up, but it was death by paper cut and not the same as a 35-yarder down the middle of the field to a wide-open Theo Johnson, because the safeties were split. Difference.
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
Chris,
if you run it, if you're ball controlling and you...
But this is my whole thing about last weekend, and I'm sorry to cut you off, Kenny. This is Kenny, right?
No, it's Teddy.
Teddy, sorry. Kenny, Teddy, ends in a Y. Repeat letters.
So does every day of the week.
Six plays, 55 yards, 3 minutes and 20 seconds. If Dante Fowler did not force that fumble,
yeah,
that drive was going to end in
Agreed.
A touchdown.
Agreed.
And they weren't going to put it in the air once.
Agreed. Well, they had. They took a 6-yard loss on a screen that Jeremy Chinn blew up, and then the second time they put it in the air on that drive was when Dante Fowler.
On this six play, 52-yard drive.
I'm telling you, I was there. I watched it, and I watched it again last night. Thank you, Teddy. Appreciate you. Thank you for getting in and making some good points. 249.
Give up a touchdown.
Yes, they did not.
Struggled to right. stop the run.
They did not. Correct. They gave up 133 yards on back-to-back drives on the ground. I was there. I charted it all. They gave up a touchdown on the 16-play drive, 13 runs. They got a turnover.
This should have been
on the first of the two drives. But this was not an all-game issue. This was a two-drive issue. Bad, but it was not an all-game issue. So let's not act like it was an all-game, all-day, all-everything problem. I mean, they've got things to fix. Granted, absolutely. 301-230-0980. Chris Rodriguez, again, after his performance on Sunday at MetLife Stadium, a couple of huge runs as the Commanders secured a 27-22 victory. He will join us right around 3:15 on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. All right, will Brian Robinson play this Sunday? That's a question right now. He was limited, not officially, but that was the expectation in practice today. Chris Rodriguez Jr. will join us at 3:15. He's not going to be able to answer that, but we're going to ask him about, obviously, his important role down the stretch in Sunday's win and potentially against the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday at Northwest Stadium. Speaking of the Steelers real quickly, Preston Smith was traded yesterday. We talked about it a little bit on the show. Doc and I, and we had so much going on. He wanted out of Green Bay. He requested a trade, did not feel like he was a scheme fit in Jeff Hafley's new defense in Green Bay. So it just didn't suit his playing style. So now he's with Pittsburgh. and he plays against his former team, assuming that he's in the lineup this Sunday, which I would expect that he would. Let's grab one more here before the top of the hour. Let's get to Jason and Laurel on line four. We'll save Paulie for the other side. What's up, Jason? How are you?
What's up, Jay?
What's up, guys?
Glad to talk.
I think you both got great points. I'd like to interject just this on this. Obviously, you got to stop the run. Obviously, you got to stop the pass. But in the market, who gets paid more, run stoppers or defensive ends that are pass rushers? Who makes more money, middle linebackers that are run stoppers or guys that intercept passes and stuff? They're both important, but the money is stopping the ball, getting the ball back for your offense. That's where the money is. Really excited about the trade yesterday. Super excited about the trade. I actually wish they had gotten Preston Smith, too, because I think he would have been a good fit for this team. The one thing I think we can see looking forward is if we win these next two games, gentlemen, look out for 14 wins during the regular season. And with Sanders still going back to the inside, I bet he gets two more picks before the end of the season.
Yeah,
so I'm super excited.
Good call, Jason. Thank you, and always good to hear from you. I'm not jumping ahead to 14. I mean, they're at 7 right now. I'm not jumping ahead to 14. If they get to 11, that's a remarkable success. They haven't had more than 10 wins in 30 some odd years or whatever the hell it is.
So even that 05 team, that wasn't an 11-5 team?
No.
That was a 10-6.
Dan Snyder never had. And the 2012 team was a 10-6 team, and they had to win their final 7 games to get to 10 wins. They were 3-6 at one point. Again, long season. Lots can change, and we will find out more. Real quickly, Ben Conti at FatPoet10 is upset at me. He said the rooster is roostering. Mad that he missed the first hour. Good news for you, Mr. Conti. It's available on the Odyssey app. The 2 o'clock hour rooster has been a jerk. I know he doesn't mean to be one, but my God. Again, the amount of disrespect for me on this show is it's just hard to comprehend. I'm the nicest guy in the world. I'm the nicest guy I know. Chris Rodriguez Jr. joins us in less than 15 minutes on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.